Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Valley View Village, an adult community offering a complete continuum of care, including independent living, assisted living, skilled and long-term care. Learn more about this community at valleyviewvillage.org.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, two remarkable Iowa athletes. With me now is Kitty Weston-Nauer. She's a retired school principal from Des Moines, but she's known worldwide for her skills on her bike. She has been competing in the BMX bike racing circuit for 29 years and has been participating and winning for many, many, many of those years. She is with me now. Hello, Kitty.
Good morning, Charity. How are you?
Great. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And we've talked about this once before, but I want to go back in time to when you first got interested in BMX bike racing. You were, what, 40 years old at the time, right?
Yes, I was. My son said to his dad and he said to me, if you think this is so easy, why don't you try it? And that's how I got involved.
So your son had been racing. How long had he been part of it?
He had been racing now for 2 years. And we had just been racing the Iowa circuit. We had seven tracks in Iowa from two different sanctioning bodies. And we were now progressed to a national. And our son had done extremely well. And this was over in Rockford, Illinois. And you know how, as parents, you know, soccer moms, soccer dads, football, what have you, so we stand on the sideline and talk about what our kids should be doing and telling them that. And we had never been out on the track. So with that challenge, I got involved in the sport of BMX racing.
Now, when you gave it a try, what did you learn?
I learned that I didn't know a whole lot about BMX racing, that's for sure. My very first race was a Mother's Day race in Marion, Iowa, and I borrowed my son's helmet, his gloves, and his bike, all of which were too small for me because, mind you, he was only 11. But I got out there with the other moms. I didn't win that race, but I had a whole different look at what BMX racing was about and a whole lot more respect for the youth and men who had been racing.
Well, and you say, and men who had been racing. It was a very male sport nearly 30 years ago. Still pretty male heavy, I believe.
It is pretty male heavy, but we do have a lot more women who are involved in this sport.
So when you started, I mean, there were very few women involved in the sport. What was that like?
Well, here's the thing. We had girls who raced the 20-inch bikes. And then we had, of course, we had lots of guys, boys and men, who were racing both 20-inch and cruiser. And when I was given that challenge, I decided I would ride the cruiser, which is a 24-inch wheel bike, basically because it was much like my mountain bike in terms of frame size. Well, hey, there in my class, which was 41 to 45, there were, let's see, there was one other woman. She raced because her son was racing.
One other woman in the United States?
Yes.
So just the two of you.
Yeah, in our class, because we were broken up into classes. And so we had to race with the men because there was no women's class. You know, as I continued to do this, women said, I would love to do that, but I don't want to race against the guys. For me, that wasn't an issue because I wanted to race. And I actually raced against my husband because we were the same age.
So he got involved too.
Oh, yeah. The challenge was given to both of us, not just to one or the other of us by our son. Yes.
So for people who've never seen a BMX bike race, tell us what it's like.
You are looking at a track that has a starting gate. And up to a total of 8 people at the most can be on that gate at one time. That starting gate has a downward slope. And you take off from that gate, and you will do a total of anywhere from 1,000 to 1,200 to 1,300 feet on a track that has doubles, may have triples. There will be at least 3 banked curves, or as we call them, berms.
And when you say doubles or triples, are you talking about the little hills that kind of send you flying?
Yes. And sometimes those little hills will send you flying. I've learned over the years to not fly over hills.
You know, okay, I'm 42 years old, and
sure.
I am not a BMX bike racer, but I don't like falling down, and I don't feel like I recover nearly as well when I do fall down as I did when I was younger. So you started this when you were 40 years old.
Correct.
Were you worried about that? I mean, our bodies don't regenerate quite as quickly as they once did.
No, they don't. But that was not my concern. I tell you, I love challenges. We had already done a number of ragbris, so I was always on a bike. And even as a kid, I was always riding my bicycle. Even after I graduated from college, I bought a bike and I used to ride to work. I used to ride to the school that I taught at. So for me, cycling was just fantastic. And I had more than one type of bike. So, yes, I was doing the mountain biking. I was doing the road bike. I even did some racing. And so when this new challenge came along, hey, it just kind of fell into line with what I was already doing.
Now, I mentioned there weren't a lot of women involved.
No.
How about diversity? Was it a fairly diverse sport, or you were pretty rare as an African-American family involved in this?
I was rare, very rare. There were African-American males, boys, and men. But in terms of women at the time, I didn't see anyone else. Sometimes you would see girls, and by girls I mean under age of 18 who were riding the 20-inch. It is still rare to see African-American women. And it's not like I haven't tried, because one of the things I was able to do was to work with both of our sanctioning bodies, along with men who said women should have their own cruiser class. And so we went from the handful of women to now we have hundreds and hundreds of women who race cruiser class. They are also racing the 20-inch class. So it's not just girls who are racing now, but women. But in terms of African-American women, we are just not there yet. When I say a handful, I mean that literally.
Have you encountered bigoted ideas because of that, because you're part of this world where you are rare?
You know, with cycling, that has not been the issue as it may have been with other sports. Basically because in the first place, there were few women who were racing cruisers to begin with. It was more, the bigotry was more in terms of, why are you women out here doing this, as opposed to why are you as an African-American woman out here doing this?
So you were too busy battling sexism.
Exactly. and you know, in some cases that may still be the case in some areas. I have not experienced it. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that that I have said to people, you know what? This is a sport that I love. This is a sport that I support. This is a sport where I want it to be all inclusive. And I've done all kinds of things to make sure that that happens.
What keeps you out there competing? Because, I mean, right now you're the oldest.
Mm-hmm. I'm the oldest female in the United States.
Female racer in the United States.
Yes. Right. Yeah. What keeps me out there? Here's the thing. We are living longer lives. And women especially. And what I want to find myself doing, what I want to be able to do, is to know that there's quality in my life. And this sport provides that for me. You know, it's not just about getting on the bike and riding, but now I find myself in the gym. And I'm in the gym because I'm continually having to continue to develop my core strength and my core stability.
Now, what's your training like? How do you stay ready for this? And I know you're recovering from a broken ankle. So
yes, I am. But you know, the broken ankle is just a temporary thing. What I do when I am not at a national or at a local race at racing, I am in the gym. And in the gym, I am doing a series of exercises that has me truly developing the core. And the core of one's body is so critical because you don't have to be on the bike every day of the week. But what you do have to do is to make sure that you are maintaining that core strength and that core stability. The other thing is, because I've had the hips and knees replaced, I also walk 2 miles at least 5 days a week. And so that really gets me amped up, because I know that with the strength that I have developed, I can get out there and compete with the best of us all.
You've been through knee surgeries and
yes.
hip surgeries.
Yes.
How do you keep going after that? I mean, that's something that for a lot of people, obviously they have to go through that as they grow older with mm-hmm. Knee replacements or mm-hmm. hip replacements. And a lot of people work hard to walk again.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And to be mobile.
Right.
Why get back on the bike?
Why not? You fall off the horse, you get back on the horse. Okay. What you tell yourself is that, okay, so bam, I went down. But will that stop me from continuing to do what I do and what I love? And for me, no way. I have always been extremely competitive. I grew up with 5 brothers, 2 who were old and 3 who were younger. And under no circumstances would I ever let them get the best of me. I'm now not competing so much against other women. I'm really competing against myself. And I do that because I want to continue to enjoy what life brings to me. You know, the knees and the hips, arthritic, and we go through that. But the other side of that coin is those can be easily replaced. And you go through, whatever you have to go through in terms of getting yourself back to where you want to and where you need to be. And so that's what I have done. And I continue to make sure that I am at my healthiest. The other thing also has to do with nutrition and knowing that eating the proper kinds of foods will also make a difference in your ability to be successful out on that track.
You have said that being a BMX bike racer helped you as an educator.
Yes.
Too. It helped you
yes.
connect with the kids. What do you think it did for you?
Oh, let me tell you. The students that you work with want to know that you are, quote, a human, okay? You're not just their teacher. You're not just their principal. And I've had these issues. Back in 93, I fell off my bike and broke my neck and ended up paralyzed. And I had to learn how to crawl all over again, how to walk all over again. And I had these conversations with my students. You know, life isn't fair. But let's talk about what one needs to do to get to where you want to be. And I would tell them my story. And some of my students had stories that would make you cry, but I will tell you this. So my students truly appreciated the fact that I could be real with them and help them to understand what they needed to do to become successful. You know, we all have our trials and tribulations, and they understood that. So it's so important. It was so important for my students to understand that I know what it's like to be knocked down and have to get back up again.
You were 40 years old. You were a mom, a working mom when you started this. Think of the women out there in the same position right now, women in their 40s. This is a time with a lot of physical challenges for a lot of women, and time challenges are huge. What would you tell us?
Here's what I'll never forget my mother telling me this, and she always said, you know, Kitty, you need to take care of you first. When you take care of you first, then there will be that time to take care of your family. There will be time for you to continue to do your work. But you must make sure that you take care of you, because if you don't take care of you, no one else will. How can you then provide what you need to for your families? Yes, it was time consuming. You know, there used to be a time I'd be up at 4:30 in the morning, and I'd be down in my basement and I'd be working out. I'd come up and have breakfast with the kids and my husband, and we would go off, the kids to school, I to my job, my husband to his. Lots of volunteer activities I was involved in. I also coached when I was teaching. And, time. But you learn how to take a look at what you are doing and decide what is most important. And how do I go about making sure all of these things are taken care of? And at the end of the day, I would always ask myself, am I happy with what I have done? And if not, what can I do to make it even better? Retirement is a whole lot easier now. The kids are grown and gone. But as a working mom, I really want to stress, and I do this with women all over the country who I have gotten to know, that don't give up your dream. If this is something you really want to do, find a way to make it work. And you'd be surprised. They are doing it because more and more women are joining our ranks, and they are doing it with their families. And that's what's so cool about this whole thing.
How is your ankle right now?
I'm in a boot now. I'd had a couple of casts. This is an incident that occurred on the 15th, and I'm in a boot now. And I'm looking to have this off tomorrow or within the next week.
Nice. And what's next for you on the BMX circuit?
DeSoto, Texas for the championship for Gold Cup.
All right. So hopefully we'll see Miss Kitty out there on top again. Kitty Westenauer, thank you so much.
And thank you, Charity.
Kitty Westenauer, she is the oldest woman competing on the BMX Bike World Championship Circuit. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.